You're listening to The Local Maximum, episode 185.
Time to expand your perspective. Welcome to The Local Maximum. Now, here's your host, Max Sklar.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. You have reached another Local Maximum. So today we're going to talk about gold, but I promise you for that for the next 45 minutes, this is not going to be like just a gold commercial, because as I mentioned at the beginning of today's interview, you know, the way those gold commercials are often done on radio and on podcasts, that just always kind of rubs me the wrong way. It's sort of like, and I've actually never owned gold until these gold backs now. So this is pretty exciting. It always seemed, you know, owning gold, sure, if you have a brokerage account, you could invest in the ETF, but that never seems too exciting. It always seems, well, you might as well invest in something else. And, you know, investing in physical gold or gold certificates just seem kind of too technical, too much research needed to be done, like who's reputable and who's not. And so I just wasn't too interested. But I found this company recently, Goldbacks, that they're doing something pretty interesting, which is taking physical gold and turning them into these really nice-looking bills. And I know I don't have one here with me. Don't worry, we're going to show them. So you'd be surprised how positively people react when they are given these bills made of gold. People like this stuff. So if you're looking for a good gift or something like that, it's always tough to find good gifts. But the lowest denomination here for the gold backs is under $4. So you get these things without risk. And today's discussion will connect with several other topics that we've been discussing on the Local Maximum. First of all, emerging technology. You'd think gold is an old technology, but the ability to turn them into bills is pretty innovative. So we'll get into that. Also, monetary technology, you know, our money system, which is a very important topic to continue discussing these days. What's happening with our monetary system? Big changes. I'm a believer in Bitcoin and crypto in general, as you know. So I just want to talk about how this plays out with gold. I don't have any of these gold backs on me today. I wish I could hold them up because I gave them all away. People like them so much. But I ordered more. They should come in soon. You should also know that if you're not watching the video, there will be video available for this episode up on Odyssey. And my guest today does hold up all of these to the camera so that you'll be able to see what they look like. So let's get into it as soon as possible so we can see it. My next guest does merchant and legal services for the Utah-based Goldback Inc., which creates gold for the masses and is recently expanding into new states as well as New Hampshire. And he's also a prolific goldback enthusiast. Benjamin Schaefer, you've reached the Local Maximum. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Max. I'm excited to be here.
So, okay, before we get into like what this whole goldback thing is, you know, I want to start. Yeah, a lot of podcasts have these kind of persistent gold commercials, and I don't know if you listen to like late night talk radio, you get some of those, like, you know, it usually starts with some very pessimistic message, like the world is getting darker, you need gold. And so I want to approach this a little bit differently, because I've gotten some of your gold slips a couple months ago at Porkfest, and I've given them out to people, and so many people have such a positive reaction, like, whoa, cool, like, is that real gold? And these are just regular people. These are not gold bugs. These are not people who would, you know, think about investing in gold. So before we get into like what this is, why do you think we aren't used to seeing gold regularly on a day-to-day basis? Like, most people have no experience seeing gold. And have you experienced the same reaction that I've gotten?
Oh, absolutely. We get a lot of really strong reactions when people see the goldbacks for the first time. And I think the main reason why you don't see it very often is because it's rare, of course, and it's very valuable. And we've debased our currencies so much. Now, it is interesting to note, however, that anytime you've got a coin from any jurisdiction, even though it's usually made out of something cheap, some kind of pop metal, something like that, they still try to make the outside look either golden, silver, or copper in color, even though it's not actually made out of that. And why is that? I think there's something deep in the human psyche. We're looking for value. When we see that, we know, this is something special.
So what are our coins made out of then, if they're not made out of? So, I mean, yes, I'm not surprised they're not made out of gold and silver, but what are they made out of?
Well, most coins are made out of zinc. Sometimes it's nickel-plated copper, things like that. What they're trying to do is they're trying to make the material for the coin cheaper than what the coin is worth on its face value. And the more inflation occurs, the harder and harder that gets. And so, of course, it used to be that a penny size amount of copper was worth a penny. But now it's worth quite a bit more. So they started making pennies out of zinc and then copper plating that zinc.
Oh, so even now,
the zinc is even worth more than a penny is worth now, to the point that it's about 6 or 7 cents for every penny that they mint. The mint is literally throwing away gobs of money, even making the penny.
Is that why you hear every once in a while proposals to get rid of the penny, but they never seem to pan out?
That's precisely why. We've actually reached the point now where a nickel, even though it's not made out of value, it's not even made out of nickel anymore. But even a 5 cent coin, right, isn't even worth that metal, even though it's cheap pot metal, is actually worth more than 5 cents as well.
Yeah.
So really, they need to get rid of the penny and the nickel. They're just throwing money away, trying to pretend that our currency is worth more than it actually is.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, this is interesting. I mean, now I'm just starting to think like, okay, wait, why is the nickel bigger than a dime again? I don't know if we have to get into
Originally, it was bigger because nickel is worth less than silver, and dimes were made out of silver.
Dimes were silver, yeah.
But they're not anymore. A dime, again, is cheap pot metal. But I still think it only takes me about 8 or 9 cents worth of it to make that little tiny coin out of cheap pot metal now.
So the dime is not underwater yet, but it's just a matter of time.
Oh, but it's coming. Like. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. All right. So that's fascinating. But let's get into what you're doing. Let's get into what is this gold back? So gold back, I know, is a word that goes way back. You guys didn't invent it. But what exactly is your product of gold back? And where does the name come from? And what's the goal here? And maybe you could show us some too.
Here we go.
So now those of you who are on audio only won't get to see this. That might be an incentive. Go check out the video.
As you can see, it's extremely shiny.
Yeah.
It's also called the gold back partly because as a laminated piece of gold,
right,
the reverse side of the gold back is just pure elemental gold that you can see through the plastic coating. Mm. It does take on this image, though.
I could almost see what's on your computer screen a little bit. Don't worry, we won't be able to make it out. I could almost see what's on your computer screen a little bit. That's how shiny it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's so reflective.
Yeah.
And so it's very, very difficult to photograph for that reason. But the goldbacks are essentially, they're a very fractional gold product. You could think of it like a very, very thin coin.
Yeah.
But it's so fractional, meaning it's such a small piece of gold. This one gold back contains only 1/1000th of a troy ounce. And that means that if you were to melt this down, and you can, by the way, melt them down and recover the gold. It's not in this form forever unless you want it to be. If you were to melt this down, it's like a grain of sand. It's a tiny grain of sand. It's all that it really is, that amount of gold. Now, why do we want such a small amount of gold? That's what makes it possible for us to make this into a currency system. So the difference is, you mentioned those late night talk show commercials. People buy gold because it's a commodity. It's a valuable commodity. But it's not really a currency. It's not really a money system. But the gold back is a money system. The 25 gold back is worth 25 of the ones or 5 of the fives. It's all fully fungible. This makes it possible for you to make purchases with a gold back. Now, why the other reason why it's so tiny is that we want you to be able to buy regular things. One gold coin is worth, and it's been worth for a while, about
$2,000. Yeah, so that's an ounce of gold is about $2,000.
1 ounce of gold.
Okay.
What are you going to buy with that?
Yeah.
I mean, let's say these late night talk show commercials are right, and the apocalypse is coming, and people need to save their value in gold because everything else is going to get wiped out. Well, even if the currency, the U.S. dollar, did get wiped out, you still wouldn't be able to buy anything with a gold coin. It's just too valuable, unless you're buying a used car, I suppose.
Right. That's what I was
saying. But at that rate, it better not be a $3,000 used car, because it better be either $2,000 or $4,000 or $6,000 used car, because you can't make change. Whereas in this case, one Goldback today is worth about $370-something, $3.70-something cents. Hmm. You can buy something for less than $4. You can buy, you know, your groceries. You can buy a couple dozen eggs or something like that. And then the Goldback is also just has so much more utility, just because it is a form of cash money right in your hands that you can spend on all those things. And we've been building a network. There are hundreds of retailers now and services and professionals in the Goldback states where the Goldbacks have come out that accept the Goldback as payment.
Yeah, so I want to get into how to build that network in a little bit, but because that's going to be key here. But first, I want to ask, like, why hasn't this been done already? Like, why, like, you know, why hasn't gold been divided up into these tiny amounts before? I mean, seems
it seems kind of a no-brainer, right? Like, let's just do this. I think the main reason is the technology really didn't exist until quite recently. So let me tell you a little bit about our process.
Yeah. These what does that mean? The technology didn't exist. Is it taking that grain of sand and flattening it out or something?
Let's say we were to use increments this small for purchases 100 years ago. You'd be talking about having teeny tiny little coins that you could easily lose. I mean, can you imagine if you had a, let's say you had a 100 of these in your pocket,
right?
But they weren't in this form. They were tiny, tiny coins. You'd lose them. Oh my goodness. It'd be like having a little bit of sand in the bottom of your pocket. Like when you go to the beach, and you're emptying your pockets out and you're like, man, there's more sand in here. And then it's like, oop, there goes $200. Oop, there goes $300. That would be catastrophic. It would never work. And the way we're making these, like, you can see all that sheen of gold, but it's really so thin that really we're talking several layers of gold atoms, but only several layers of gold atoms.
Wow. So it's like, and it's amazing you could see that. But I guess you can't.
Right. It's not transparent, at least. One, however, is just thin enough. If you get a really bright light and you shine it on it, it'll actually shine through slightly, a little bit of the glow. And that's actually how a spectrometer measures whether or not something is made out of gold, is which parts of the bandwidth of light are reflected or travel through the piece. So you can actually test a Goldback that way, a one Goldback. But basically, I want you to take a look a little bit at this reversed image.
Yeah.
Okay. That image isn't printed. That is in the gold itself, atom by atom.
Wow.
And it's right down to security features like the serial number. I don't know if you can make that out. The serial number there is literally imprinted in it at an atomic level for security purposes.
So is this considered some kind of nanotechnology or
basically, so what we're doing is it's called vacuum deposition. The first sheet of polymer, which is what all of this printing is printed on, goes through the top of a vacuum chamber. In the bottom of the vacuum chamber, we've got this pure elemental gold, a big sheet of pure elemental gold. And we're taking pieces of that elemental gold off with the high ionized laser and then fusing it to this. So you can almost think of it like 3D printing. It actually has a texture you can feel.
I felt it.
In the
I would take mine out, but I gave them all away. That's why I had to buy more.
We'll have to get those out to you. I'll get those right out to you. And of course, there's lots of places you can buy them. But even more important than that is there's lots of places you can spend them, because it's one thing, again, to stack gold. And don't get me wrong, I appreciate it when people have the foresight to have savings. And this is a great way to save your money, as savings is in Goldbacks. But really what I'm passionate about is trying to get America onto a true sound money system. I tell people, your freedom is about your life, liberty, and property. And you do not have any one of those if one of them is denied. You don't really have rights to life if they can take your property. You don't really have your liberty if they can take your life or your property. Now, rights of property are so important. Seeing that rights of property are so important, how do you have a right to property? Well, you don't have a right to property if you don't have a free market. And you don't truly have a free market unless you have a free market money system that actually allows you to have control over your property. Otherwise, if it's manipulatable, if it can be inflated away, if it can be printed out of thin air, you don't really have a right to property if you're denominating it in dollars, is what I'm saying. Because they can always just change what your property's worth, in a sense, taking your property from you. So this really is a liberty issue. This really is about building a stronger economy. These are local currencies. This one I have in my hand right here is the Utah Goldback.
Yeah.
In Utah, we're building up our local communities by using this. The town I live in has dozens of vendors that all use the Goldback. And when we spend our Goldbacks at those businesses, like, you know, yesterday I just got my car worked on actually and paid in Goldbacks. That I know that that money isn't going to be sent from that auto shop, isn't going to be sent to some other state or some other country. It's going to circulate again and again and again within my community.
Right, right. I feel like people are going to do what I did, where they want to keep a few as like, you know, souvenirs, and then they'll get more to spend.
But yeah, absolutely.
Once people are seated with those, and they almost have to be not sick of seeing them, but they've been like, okay, I've seen this one.
Okay, I can let a few go now. Yeah, this is a problem some people call is called Grisham's Law.
Okay, yeah, we've gone over this on the show, but please restate it.
Yeah, so basically the idea is you're going to spend the less valuable thing instead of the more valuable thing. You know, I've got a $1 bill here. I know this is going to be worth maybe 80 cents next year. So I might as well spend it now. Just get rid of it.
Right.
This is worth about $3.70 right now, but I know for certain it's going to be worth more than $4 within a matter of months, even probably. Why would I want to spend this one when I could spend that one? And so that's just a rational choice. And Grisham's Law basically says people are going to spend the less valuable thing away first. The bad money drives the good out of the economy, because you'd rather spend the worse money and keep the more valuable money. This is why actual pure silver dimes, like we mentioned earlier, or even pure copper pennies, you don't see them in circulation much anymore. Now, of course, they're still around, but people grab them, people pull them out, and they don't spend them, they keep them because they know they're worth more. You know, so a silver dime is worth, you know, $2 or $3 now. And so when no one's going to spend it for 10 cents when they could get $3 for it.
Yeah. When were those made again?
The silver? Oh, the actual silver before 1963.
So is that any dime before 1963 is silver?
Almost, yes. During World War II, they made some steel dimes and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, yeah, so I see. So that's why you probably, if you're looking for a dime before 1963, you're not going to see them very often.
You're not going to see them very often.
Yeah.
Not because they've deteriorated or something, but because when someone sees that, they're not going to spend it for 10 cents. It's worth more. And so it's the same thing with these. People want to keep them.
So do you have a strategy for overcoming Grisham's Law? Is that something that you see as a hurdle to be overcome, or something that could help you in the long run? How do you?
You know, I think it's really fine. Basically, Grisham's Law helps us because it encourages people to use Goldbacks for their savings. That is, and I think that's a great strategy. And honestly, I think it's smarter than stacking gold coins or silver coins, in the sense that in the event you do want to spend them, you're not going to sell them for dollars. You're just going to spend them directly as Goldbacks. So there's more usefulness there. But I also think that it's not going to be too much of a problem, because the more vendors we build into the network, the more merchants there are that accept the Goldback, the more likely they're going to be to sweeten the pot a little bit, do promotions, use them as coupons, use them for, you know, say, hey, you know, if you pay in Goldbacks, we'll give you 10% off, things like that. And so that encourages people to circulate them more.
So if you have a certain critical mass.
As long as the market is there, as long as the economy is functioning with the Goldbacks in it, I think that it's okay that some people save their money. We need more savings anyway.
Sure. So it sounds like you need a certain critical mass in your network where, you know, no one's going to run a promotion if they have one customer for Goldbacks every month or something. Maybe they would. But,
true. You know. So here's a few statistics for you. The first year we did the Goldbacks, which was the end of 2019 until the mid 2020. Don't forget, those were kind of weird economic times. Yeah. That first year or so, we did just over $1 million turned into goldbacks. That wasn't enough to reach that critical mass, right? But it still put them in the hands of a lot of people. We're doing more than $1 million into goldbacks every month now. And we are actually looking at increasing our production so that by the end of 2021, we could be doing as much as $4 to $6 million a month into goldbacks. At that point, I think we will finally catch up with demand a little bit better. We might not catch up all the way. There's a lot of demand right now, a lot more than our manufacturing capabilities. But at that point, there will be enough in circulation. We already have goldbacks in the hands of over 300,000 Americans, have at least a few goldbacks. It's a lot of people. And so, yeah, eventually it's definitely gonna be very worthwhile for any business. They're going to be missing out if they don't accept goldbacks.
So which states do you have right now?
Okay, so the first state was Utah, the Utah goldback. Utah was one of the first states to pass a legal tender act, making these legal tender. The second state was Nevada. Nevada is taking off pretty well too. They're a very libertarian state in a lot of ways, so they care about liberty issues and free market ideas.
And does it have anything to do with, like, you also have Vegas, so you have like all the gaming.
And oh, sure, and they love
probably like putting that down and
the gleam of gold, you know.
Yeah,
down there in Vegas, and then New Hampshire. New Hampshire is the third state. New Hampshire is a great freedom-loving state and had very favorable laws. But we're very excited to be coming out in the next couple of months with the Wyoming goldback. And here's the really exciting thing about Wyoming. They have already passed a law, it's on the books, that if you pay for your purchase in goldbacks, there is no sales tax associated with that purchase, which is mind-blowing. They're basically saying that they favor the goldback over the dollar in their state. And so they're going to give it special consideration and make it so that you can be sales tax exempt for all transactions done in goldbacks. Well, I think that is going to be massive, and we're hoping for massive adoption, quick adoption, because that's a strong incentive.
I was going to say, let's do that here in New Hampshire, but then I realized we don't have a sales tax. So.
Right. No sales tax in New Hampshire anyway, which is one of the reasons why we wanted to do New Hampshire,
It
makes the accounting easier and all that when people are using an alternative currency.
Now, are you going to have to do like 50 of these ultimately, or like what's the plan? Like,
We're going to definitely do more than 50 eventually. It is going to take a while for us to get all 50 states. I expect we'll do several foreign countries before we do all 50 states. You know, really, gold is the ultimate international currency, and it's all completely interchangeable. We get asked this all the time. People will say, if I'm in New Hampshire, can I use a Utah goldback, or does it have to be a New Hampshire goldback? Well, different art doesn't change the nature of it. It's still
the same amount
of gold, the same type of currency. So it's sort of like having different state quarters. It's still worth 25 cents no matter which state you're in.
They had like the presidents on them once. It's like, it doesn't matter if I'm giving you, you're not going to check the quarter. What? This is Benjamin Harrison? Oh no, don't give that to me.
Oh no, this quarter's from Pennsylvania. I can't spend it here. You know?
Yeah.
No, of course it's fine. And that also will make it, I think, a really great international currency. We are actually in some talks. I can't announce anything too specific yet, but we are in talks about making some foreign goldbacks already. And when those do come out, they'll be fully interchangeable again with the domestic ones.
So I know you don't want to tell me where it is, but is it a place that like I would want to visit and then spend the goldback?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, good.
A place you want to visit.
It could be like we're doing another country, but it's.
But then again, war-ravaged countries. Like say Venezuela, they're in desperate need of something like this. We have no plans to do Venezuela, by the way. It's not there. They've inflated their currency so badly. When I was in New Hampshire, launching the New Hampshire goldback. And I went to Porkfest. I had a fellow come up to me and he said, hey, can I buy some goldbacks in bolivars, Venezuelan bolivars? And I said, sure, let's just see what the exchange rate is. You know, and I was thinking I would charge him the actual value. Yeah, well, in the end, I ended up just trading him one goldback just for the curiosity purpose or as a demonstration tool for a 100 million bolivar note. That 100 million bolivars is worth so much less than one US penny.
Yeah.
That you'd have to have a little pile, you'd have to have a huge stack of them to make one US dollar.
Wow. Yeah, that's hyperinflation.
And that kind of hyperinflation isn't possible when you have a sound money system. Sound money doesn't fluctuate like that. The gold back is the way I kind of think now. I think of the gold back as the stable currency amount, and the gold back exchange rate with the dollar changes. People say, oh, well, is the gold back going up or down? I'm like, no. The gold back is pretty much the same. Okay. The dollar is going up and down. Hmm. It's the same thing with the bolivars. I mean, the bolivar used to be as strong as the dollar, but now hundreds of millions of them won't even buy you a sandwich. It yeah. won't even buy you wow. a piece of candy. I mean, they literally have piles of it in the street. So they really, really could have used something like this. It would have prevented some of that economic disaster that they're in. There is one other thing that we've recently announced, though, that I should mention, and that is South Dakota is getting its own gold back.
Okay, yeah.
And we're in talks with some other states. Other states are already in development, but we can't announce them until we get all the legislation and everything in line so that we know that it'll be accepted as a local currency.
Right. So, okay, I'm sure, you know, you deal with a lot of people who are into monetary technology and, you know, people who love freedom. And I'm sure a lot of people are saying, hey, you know, I do Bitcoin or I do crypto, you know, that's the future. Maybe that's where I'm coming from a little bit. So, and I know you're not anti-crypto. So what are your thoughts on that reaction? What's your, how does this play with crypto? How does that work?
You know, in a lot of ways, I see us as definitely as natural allies. Crypto, the purpose of why does something exist is kind of a big question you'll always have to ask yourself about any of these. Why make it? What purpose does it serve? Money is a tool, and it's really just an idea of value so that we can get something done with it. Well, why did we need crypto? We needed crypto because we wanted to create something with an independently verifiable value. We wanted to be able to create something that was decentralized, that couldn't be manipulated, that couldn't be stolen from us so easily, that wouldn't be part of us being surveilled all the time, make it possible for there to be greater privacy and also privacy on one hand, but also transparency on the other. We know what it's worth. We don't have to know all of your business in order to transact in it. The gold back actually solves that, all those same problems, but in a different way. The one difference for me, and probably why I'm a little bit more enthusiastic about the gold backs than I am about crypto, is that the gold back value is so stable and it's so physical. It's so physically real. I can melt these down and turn it into earrings or a ring. I don't have to trust in kind of a theoretical value. Now, don't get me wrong, Bitcoin is valuable. But why is it valuable? It's valuable only because we are choosing to value it. But it has no physical reality. And this is one of the reasons why Bitcoin is so much more unstable. The value has shot up from almost nothing, into astronomical highs. And today, for example, it dropped quite a bit. And of course, I expect it'll rebound robustly over time. But the gold back is handy partly because you know that what it's worth. In this case, one gold back, if they'd had the technology to create them, but this amount of gold, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, would have bought you about the same number of amount in goods and services as it does today. And I'd be willing to bet that one gold back will still buy you, say, a sandwich or a loaf of bread or a couple dozen eggs or something like that. I bet you it'll buy those same things in 1,000 years as it does now.
That's a pretty
big amount of gold. So
we could see, like, you know, even, I mean, we could test this even 10 years from now, you know, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the other thing too that's great about the gold back is it is decentralized, much like crypto.
Yeah.
It's, although every person who has it in their wallet is essentially a node in the network. Gotcha. And it's independently verifiable. You know exactly what it's worth. It doesn't matter where it came from or where it's going. It's totally untraceable. Therefore, it's much like a privacy coin in that sense.
It's a lot easier to onboard. I mean, I've been trying to get onboard people to Lightning Network, and I've been pretty successful when I walk someone through it. But just giving someone a gold note, they know how to.
You just hand it to them, right? Now that does bring up the one thing that's a real drawback to the gold back. But the crypto has been doing a little bit better, and that is, it's so physical that I really do have to hand it to you.
Right.
Right. I'm going to be mailing you some gold backs, but you're going to have to wait till they get there. I can't email you the gold backs essentially, or do it through an electronic wallet. Now, there are a couple ways around that. If people want to get into the gold back, I think the best place to buy it is alpinegold.com. And there's something called the United Precious Metals Association, which actually offers escrow services, but you could think of them as banking-like in the sense that you can have an account there, and that account can be denominated in gold backs, and then you can transfer from one account to another between individuals, for example, much like you might use Venmo or something simple like that, and they simply transfer it from one account to another. So that can be a really useful way of doing it a little bit more electronically. But it's true, if you want to make most purchases, you got to have the gold in your hands.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to think. I mean, it's sort of a different set of trade-offs, I think. And it's interesting, and it's definitely fun to have and give out. I could.
And we are actually in talks about making a crypto token that will be denominated in gold backs and can be exchanged for delivery in gold backs.
Yeah.
So if any of your listeners think that they've got the next brightest thing in creating some kind of crypto token, that it will be just as private, just as handy as any of the others, then surprise us.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So let's take a look at like the bills and the denominations that you have. So I'm kind of interested. So why did you pick the denominations and amounts, and where does that art come from? Did you get like it looked like somebody worked a really long time on those on that artwork?
So I'll show you some of the Utahs.
Yeah.
This is the Utah one. Each gold back has a virtue, a Latin virtue, is what's printed on it. This is Prudence, and she's represented during the Utah Native period as a Native American woman with various symbols from each of the Utah tribes, and she's holding a mirror in her hand. I wonder if you can see that, and she's gazing in the mirror.
Yes, I can see it.
And so Prudence, it's about self-reflection. And so, for example, and then there's a little phrase at the bottom of each. In this case, it says, deal prudently. The five, the Utah five, has truth. Veritas is her name. And so she walks barefoot, which is interesting. You know, it's like the naked truth. You know, truth has nothing to hide. It engages with the world directly. She carries a lantern of light aloft, light of truth. So all of these have beautiful symbolic meanings in them. The woman who did this series, her name is Cherry. I kept calling her Sherry Jensen, but it's Cherry Jensen. This is Lady Justice. Right. So she's got the scales in one hand and the sword in the other and the blindfold and all of that. And then each of the backgrounds will come with part of the landscape of the state that it's in and the wildlife that lives there, you know, and all kinds of details like that.
Right.
Okay. And then there's the 25. The 25, the first woman to vote.
Pretty valuable now. Like that would be. Is that like that's $100?
Close to $100. Yep.
Close to $100. Yeah. All right.
And so Victoria, we named her because she is about the first woman who voted in 1870, in U.S. elections. So her name was Seraph Young. And there's also Utah 50. Now the 50s have always been Lady Liberty, some form of Lady Liberty. Let me grab a 50.
All right. Yeah, those 50s I'm looking forward to seeing because they're, what's that going to be? Nearly $200 of value.
Yeah, and this is why I don't always carry it in my wallet.
Yeah.
Let me show you, I've been showing you the Utahs. Let me show you a New Hampshire here. The New Hampshire Goldback 50.
has Lady Liberty on it, and she is part of what was called the Pine Tree Rebellion. They have a flag here that said an appeal to God or an appeal to heaven is what their flag said on it. And the idea was the British, they wanted to cut down the forests of New Hampshire to build the British fleet. And the Sons of Liberty of New Hampshire rose up and said, nope, you're not going to take our trees for purposes of tyranny. They had a little motto. It's on her skirt as well, about unity.
Yeah.
Vis unita fort, probably mispronouncing it. Anyways, our fortress is our unity, essentially. And so, you know, they're filled with all those items. The Utah Lady Liberty is different. She's got the state tree and stuff like that. She's holding the torch and the cup. And we've got the lion laying down with the lamb, but it's a Utah mountain lion, right? And all of that. So libertas is liberty in Latin. So yeah, each of these bills, then it tells a story. It tells the history of the state in which it represents, and the artwork, you know, we believe it's really come out quite beautifully and really depicts some of the virtues that we're trying to stand for in having a sound money system.
And if I remember when I held them, because I've only dealt with one so far, but they get heavier and heavier. You could actually feel
them. Oh, they do, yes. The 50 and the one, the 50 has 50 times the amount of gold in it. Now, with the one, like I said, it's very, very thin. So what you're dealing with here is probably what I'm feeling if I'm bending it and all of that is I'm feeling the plastic resistance. But like by the time you get to a 25, it's quite a bit stiffer.
Yeah.
And if you hold them in your hand, you can definitely tell. In fact, one of the other things that's kind of fun is that they're all a different size as well as a different thickness. So let's see here if I can make them line up nicely for you.
So yeah, you could see. So right, if you put them all end to ends, or if you stand them up,
you see that they're all different sizes. Not only does it make it fun and easy to count in your wallet, but even a blind man could tell you exactly what denomination they have in their hand, not just from the size, but also from the thickness.
And and it's also helpful in like learning about it. I said before, the nickel, why is the nickel so much bigger than a dime? That's always confusing for children when they're learning. No, this one's more than that one, but you know.
Right. And in this case, they do get bigger and thicker. Because here's the other thing. Why does that confusion come up? Because most of these systems have been multiple metal systems, tri or quad metal systems. This is a single metal system. Why is that powerful? That's powerful because the interchangeability, the fungibility, it flows really, really, really well. Gold, the value of gold, if it fluctuates, they fluctuate together. Now, what happens when you have, say, silver coins and gold coins in the same system?
Yeah.
Well,
I think we used to do
that.
If I'm not mistaken, we used to do that. Yeah.
What's that?
If I'm not mistaken, we used to do that in the United States.
Oh, yes.
When fortune, I mean, we were on a hard money system, so that was a good idea, but we did have that duel that was always causing some issues, right?
And that's always creating problems because the people would say, oh, but silver's up, so I'm going to collect more of the silver. I'm going to spend the gold or the copper and all those things. So what the government tried to do was they tried to force peg it. They tried to say, you have to trade 10 copper pennies for one silver dime. They have to be the same, even though they're not the same. They're changing their values relative to one another all the time. The government said, no, it's against the law to speculate on this. You have to do it. Well, we're not into forcing anything. This is a voluntary local currency project. We want this to be true freedom-based money. You can't have a forced pegging system if it's going to be a truly free market economy with a truly free market system. So we don't have that problem with the gold back because it's all just pure 24 karat gold, 999 gold. It says 24K on it. It really is.
What is 24K?
So basically that means that the purity of this gold is guaranteed down to one part per thousand will be a gold atom.
Okay. That's
At least 999 atoms out of a thousand, every thousand atoms has to be an atom of elemental gold.
So it's so crazy that we're talking on the atomic level.
On the atomic level, right. That's what that basically means. Yeah. It means it's as pure as it can possibly be refined. Now, what is that occasional other thousandth atom?
Oh, yeah.
It's probably that, silver.
Okay. Really?
That's basically where that comes from in nature. When we try to refine it, that's usually what it ends up being. So,
No, there's a little bit of silver in there. I don't know.
Oh, no. Yeah, but such a tiny, tiny amount. Right, the other thing, too, is in order to guarantee such a tiny amount of gold, 1/1000th,
right,
of a troy ounce, it says on here.
Yeah.
We have to go over. We have to go over a bit. So you're actually getting slightly more than what is guaranteed. I'm sure that covers even that one occasional atom out of thousands of gold atoms.
Right, right. So you mentioned like regulatory issues in like some states you can't make this in. What are those issues? What are they? What's the legal thing there that's kind of holding you up?
So when we did some research on the history of local currencies, as well as the history of precious metals trading, we wanted to make sure that what we were doing was so fully compliant with all of the laws that we wouldn't be able to foresee that there could be any conflict or any difficulty. So one of the things that we've done is we've tried to make sure that these are local currencies, actual local currencies. There are laws that protect that type of thing. Whereas if this was simply a competitor to the dollar, this isn't really a competitor to the dollar. This is a complementary local system.
Right.
Then we'd be running up against, well, are you coining Federal Reserve notes? No, we're not. Are you coining dollars? No, we're not making dollars. We are making gold backs. We actually put this little disclaimer on them. I don't know if you'll be able to see. It says privately issued, not U.S. dollar legal tender. Because these aren't dollars. And so that protects us. And also when we do it under state laws, according to the Constitution, states have the authority to mint coinage so long as they only coin in gold or silver. And these are gold. So that makes it possible for us to coin these under the Constitution. And it avoids a bunch of other pitfalls. There are various complaints people have had, for example, about various local currencies looking too much like the dollar, getting them in trouble. You see, the dollar's oriented horizontally. Ours are oriented vertically. That was part of that reason.
Well, they also look very different.
They look very, very different. That's very, very intentional.
Has any regulatory authority tried to like make your life difficult or go after you?
No, and we really do believe that we are fully compliant, that they probably won't. The other thing too, though, that I do like to point out is, because some people are nervous sometimes, they'll say, someone's going to shut you down. Someone's going to get mad at you. And
sure.
You know, we're trying our best to make sure that we're doing is completely legal, but someone might get mad at us eventually. Yeah. Here's the fun thing. Let's say we do get shut down.
Right.
That does not ruin the value of the gold backs. If anything, it makes them slightly more valuable because we'll stop minting them.
Right.
That'll just make them even more rare. But if you've got a gold back in your pocket, you've got the gold in your pocket. It doesn't matter if they shut us down. It's still a circulating currency that still has an intrinsic value. Or at least the commodity value of being made out of real gold.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me about like actually spending these. Like how do you approach businesses? Which ones of them have been open? What kind of pushback have you gotten? And like, are there any like fun stories about spending these? Like where
they
worked out really well.
Well, I would say that there's certainly a fairly broad middle of people who are like, yeah, but how does it benefit my business? You know, have some practical concerns. Generally, we can address those. I believe that it's a very effective system. But of course, sometimes you just pull that out and they see the gold and they go, whoa, that is so cool. And people just freak out, you know, and they'll be on board, you know, before you even know it. And of course, sometimes you pull it out and people go, oh, no. That's going to be too complicated for me. I don't want to have anything to do with that. You know, just because we are trying to introduce them to something that is new or maybe outside their paradigm. Think about it that way with crypto adoption. I'm sure everybody who watches this show, who's ever gotten on with crypto or tried to explain crypto to somebody, there's people who definitely don't get it. And there's others who do. But I'd say in general, it's got the bling factor. It's got that wow factor. People see that and they just go, oh my goodness, that's so amazing. I got to get some of those. So I'd say that it is more than 50% of business owners seem to want to adopt it.
Is there a type of business that seems to be more open to it than others?
Yeah. And it really comes down to how much local control they actually have. True mom and pop shops, they're almost always on board. One of the biggest problems that I didn't even realize until I went out trying to sign up businesses to accept the goldbacks is just how much of the U.S. economy might appear local, but is actually run by big international conglomerates. And it is a lot harder when you can't talk to someone who actually has the authority to make any decisions about how their business is run, because all those decisions are made, you know, in New York or London or Qatar. When I found out how much of the hotel industry is owned from the Middle East, I was shocked. Wow. I mean, I thought some of these unique little motels in small towns, I figured they're probably all local owners who live there, right, who just run a hotel. No, shocking number of even unique looking little businesses are all owned by these huge mega hotel and resort conglomerates and things like that. So that's really what I found to be the hardest thing about adoption, is that this is a local currency. It's about strengthening local business. It's really a powerful tool for entrepreneurs, but it's shocking to me to realize how little control of the U.S. economy entrepreneurs actually have, and how hard it is to get into that market. So many, not just hotels, but any market in America right now seems to be highly regulated and controlled by these big, huge companies.
Yeah.
And I'd say that's been our biggest difficulty, really, is we have to take over the local economies before the big conglomerates were even going to be on their radar.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking near me, like, I don't know if they're ultimately owned by a big conglomerate or what, but there's like a gas station convenience store chain, and there's like four of them here in Southern New Hampshire, and they all have like Bitcoin ATMs in there. So I'm like, okay, maybe that would be a good one to go check, but I'll give
definitely.
You their name.
You know, and I would love to, if you guys want to get onto goldback.com, you can contact us. You can also contact me at benjamin@goldback.com. If there's a business you shop at, if you're a business owner who's watching this, please get in contact with us. Let's get you into that network so that we can know about your business and we can all use sound money.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be fun. So are there any do you have any stories of like businesses where like, has it like helped them at all? Like, you know, oh my God, we use these goldbacks and I mean, you know, I either it got people in or like, we're just really excited to use it. People like the customers seem excited. Like,
I mean, I suppose this is just a funny little one, but I was at the county fair in my county just last weekend, and I was walking around with my kids, and I came up to a guy who is a beekeeper, but he not only sells his own local honey, he has honey from all over the world and special, you know, exotic honeys and things like that. And I walked up and I saw he's got a little "We accept the goldback" sticker on his.
You saw one out in the wild.
Yeah, just at random, you know.
That's, by the way, as an aside, before you go on the story, that's one of the most exciting things. Like when you work at a tech startup, like I mean, in the early days of Foursquare, when I'd like build a feature and then I'd like hear people talking about it when I
right, and they don't know that you had anything to do with it. It's just there, right?
Yeah.
So, anyways, he's got that up, and I was like, "Hey, you accept the goldbacks?" He's like, "Oh yeah, it's been great. As soon as you guys advertised that I accepted the goldback, I had lots of people order lots more people ordering from me and paying me in gold." And he's happy about it because he knows that the goldback is going to be worth more if he can save some for a few months.
What type of place was it? Was that the fair you said?
Oh yeah. It was at the fair that he had this particular booth, but he also has a regular store.
Oh, but what's he selling?
Primarily honey and honey products and things that have honey in it. You know, he's not as big as Burt's Bees yet or anything, but he's got his own little business here. And you know, it's kind of a unique niche kind of thing, but because it's local and because here in Utah we are seeing much wider adoption, he felt like it was really helping his business. And yeah. I think that that's going to become more and more common. As we said, though, with Grisham's Law, we really want to see these circulate a lot more than I feel like they are. A lot of times, again, when people are like, yeah, I do have goldbacks in my wallet, but I've also got dollars in my wallet. I'll just spend the dollars. I'll keep these. These are too pretty. These are too cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know? Dollars, I actually have to go to the ATM and get more. So once the dollars are gone,
I've also heard stories, and it's a little funny to me, but I've heard stories of people getting onto our network, being really excited to find other businesses that love a free market, love liberty, want to use the goldbacks, and then they'll deliberately go and they'll patronize those businesses, but pay them in dollars because they didn't want to give up the goldbacks. So like, come on, use the goldbacks, buy more goldbacks with the dollars instead, keep it right. circulating, you know?
Yeah, you can always purchase and then refill. That's been a crypto strategy of mine too. If I buy something that is $100 worth of Bitcoin, I'll spend the Bitcoin and then I'll replenish it with $110. So I'll tax myself a little bit, but then I'm saving more. So it's like it's like an incentive.
And that's what I want to see people doing with goldbacks, because I think that's the only way to really make the ultimate difference is for it to circulate fully. And so we want to make sure that free market is really humming.
All right. Well, I'm really looking forward to giving it a shot and getting some. And if I end up having to, and hopefully
having to spend them, right? Because you want to keep them in your pocket, right? Otherwise, buy a few extra and spend them.
Well, that's why I got a few extra. We'll see how long they last, and hopefully I'll be able to spend
them. One of the coolest things I like to do is anytime you go out to eat, ask your server, would you like your tip in paper or in gold?
I've seen someone do that here.
They're almost always going to say gold. So don't forget, just use them as tips, things like that. And it gets the word out. And then pretty soon the business owner is like, I need to sign up our restaurant to accept the gold backs. And then things are rolling.
You know what? I'm going to start doing that. That's a great idea. Okay. So thanks so much, Benjamin, for sharing all this today. I know I'm excited to get it. I'm going to give you like the last word. Just tell us, any closing thoughts, any wrap up, and also I know you've given a few websites already, but where can we go to get these and find more?
Yeah, and I bet you're going to put the put these links into your description.
Yes. It's going to be localmaxradio.com/185.
Awesome. So what you're going to want to do is go to goldback.com. On goldback.com, you can do things like see some of the featured business network. You can use a transaction calculator, which makes it a lot easier to accept these at your business. You can see the exchange rate. We also have hundreds of pages about the history, the art, the purposes of sound money and things like that to educate you on that website. It's a fun one to see. I also recommend alpinegold.com. It's one of our favorite retailers. They will mail them to you and also help you through the United Precious Metals Association. That's at UPMA, United Precious Metals Association, right? UPMA.org, where you can create accounts. And I suppose the last thing I'd really like to say is if you want freedom and you want to be able to protect your assets, gold is a good way to do it. Gold is the best way to make sure that you know that you actually have the value. And I believe that the gold backs are the most useful form of gold because it's the only gold that you can actually spend as a truly fungible currency. If you're a big Bitcoiner, for example, and you're in it partly because you value the principles upon which it's based, but you need to diversify, frankly, if all your money is in Bitcoin. Give us some of your Bitcoin and we'll give you some gold, and then we'll both be diversified a little bit better, and we'll keep striking a blow for liberty.
All right. And with that, Benjamin, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yep. Thank you, Max. Have a good day.
That's the show. To support the Local Maximum, sign up for exclusive content and our online community at maximum.locals.com. The Local Maximum is available wherever podcasts are found. If you want to keep up, remember to subscribe on your podcast app. Also, check out the website with show notes and additional materials at localmaxradio.com. If you want to contact me, the host, send an email to localmaxradio@gmail.com. Have a great week. Feel the power.